Glad you could join us. This is really a very important topic. It fascinates me, the role of the inner earth beings, the extraterrestrials, the competition, the relationship between them has always been fascinating. And I've always wanted to understand what is their relationship and the history of these different crypto-terrestrials or cryptoids or cryptids, as some people call them. So today we're going to be doing a deep dive into all of that, into the history, and it truly is a fascinating history.
You're listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala, your source for the uncensored truth regarding the human, extraterrestrial, global, and political agenda. Click the like button and subscribe to this channel. And now, here is Dr. Michael Sala.
Why does this ancient history, this pre-human history of Earth, and these different genetic experiments or different species that evolved or that had civilizations on the surface of the planet, why is that important today? And what does that mean for the future? My job is to identify, you know, what are the most credible sources of information, present that to you, to the public, and any policymakers that might be interested in this topic, and for them to make the right decisions. This is exopolitics, and exopolitics concerns the politics of extraterrestrial life or non-human life. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's not, exopolitics is not like mathematics. It's not like physics. There's a right or wrong answer to empirical questions or mathematical questions. But when it comes to politics, there are no right or wrong answers. There's answers that might be more appropriate at one time, but not another. And so that means that my job is to kind of like help educate people as to what is really going on out there, and then to make choices, some important choices about who to listen to. And this, I think, is going to be very relevant to us on this planet as we head towards a catastrophic disclosure scenario where all of a sudden the question of extraterrestrials and inner earth beings and aquatic beings, well, and interdimensional beings, all of that gets answered in the affirmative that yes, they're here. And then it's like, well, who do you trust? Who do you listen to? So hopefully this presentation will give you an idea of what's out there and what information is more trustworthy and reliable than others. Here is a book by Mac Thomas, who did write about crypto-terrestrials. And what he said in terms of what are crypto-terrestrials, he said, quote, a humanoid species indigenous to the Earth. And that's critical here because we're not talking about extraterrestrials that look like us or extraterrestrials that come from a distant star system and suddenly are here on Earth and visiting, interacting and so forth. We're talking about beings that are indigenous to the Earth, that have been here for hundreds of thousands, even millions of years. And he goes on, a sister race that has adapted to our numerical superiority by developing a surprisingly robust technology. So a sister race, that is a race that we are connected to, not so much. There might be some genetic breeding or crossbreeding, but we are connected in terms of the same mother. The father might be different. If you think of it in terms of seeding genetics, I mean, the different extraterrestrial off-world visitors that came and seeded their genetics on planet Earth with the primitive life forms here, you might consider them as like the father of the species, whereas the mother is the planet herself, is Earth, is Gaia. Like some people speak of Gaia as a consciousness, a planetary consciousness, and she evolves life forms on Earth, primitive life forms, and then you have extraterrestrials coming to the Earth and picking and choosing which of those life forms might be more amenable to one of their genetic experiments. in understanding the history of crypto-terrestrials on the planet, I really highly recommend this book by Sumbo Truebrother, who met with and had communications, extensive communications with a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot, a being that is about 2,000 years old, according to Sumbo Truebrother. And I have interviewed Sumbo Truebrother on one of my shows. But his book, The Sasquatch Message to Humanity, I mean, that is highly recommended for giving us a very succinct, clear overview of the history of these non-human indigenous species on the earth that have developed civilizations on the surface, which at a certain point in time collapsed, and the remnants of that civilization or portions of it went underground to set up vast civilizations, or kind of like remnant civilizations in the earth's interior. And the surface of the planet then was repopulated by other non-human species. And then that sets the stage for what's happening. So the way he describes it in the Sasquatch Message to Humanity is, quote, "The way for the star elders to introduce their genetic memories on a new planet is most often by adding to their own DNA one or a few genes from a well-evolved and adapted species indigenous to the local planet." So what he's saying there is that these ancient races that came here and began these genetic experiments on the Earth, and I think it's very important that we appreciate that the Earth historically has been like a giant petri dish. We have these off-world visitors coming with completely different genetics, and identifying some of the species on that have evolved naturally on the Earth, primitive species, and identifying them as suitable for a genetic upgrade, where they throw in some of their own genetics to create a technologically evolved civilization. And these star elders, they are by no means restricted to human-looking extraterrestrials. They are ancient races that have been coming here and have set up these genetic experiments here. So they've been going on for a long, long time. What the Sasquatch people say in terms of the evolution of these is that there was a distinct chronology. They say that the first intelligent, technologically evolved civilization on planet Earth were the fish people, aquatics. Then there were the ant people. Or ant people, we could also think insectoids, the lizard people or the reptilians, the bird people or avians, then the Sasquatch. Apparently they come at the end or close to the end of the line. And the babies, and that's how humans are regarded. We are the babies of that succession of genetic experiments that have spanned the course of hundreds of millions of years. I mean, a staggering amount of time if you think about it. That the Earth, for over the course of hundreds of millions, if not billions of years, has been populated, repopulated by these different hybrid species involving extraterrestrial visitors with indigenous local beings, primitive beings, to create technologically evolved hybrids that look like aquatics, fish, insectoids, reptilians, and so forth. So that, in a nutshell, is the chronology that is presented by the Sasquatch. And in reading the book, I felt that this was a really very helpful way of understanding the history of our planet. It gives us an appreciation for why our history has been so complicated and so tumultuous. Because I think, you know, when we look at beings who have caused much havoc in our present era, when we talk about Draco reptilians, or we talk about greys or praying mantis beings that have been involved in some of the injustices on planet Earth, they come from off-world. We can better appreciate or understand what's going on because they claim to have some kind of ancestral link, to these indigenous ones on Earth and view the Earth as once being a reptilian planet or once being a insectoid planet. It just gives us a perspective, an insight into their way of thinking, into why they do what they do. And my background is conflict resolution. And in conflict resolution, what we do is always try to get the conflicting parties in a conflict to recognize the needs of one another. Because when you get people out of the positional bargaining that often occurs in a conflict where people just mouth these platitudes in terms of their positions, you know, like, you know, I mean, we look at, say, what's happening today in Palestine. I mean, you have one group say, well, Palestine belongs to the Palestinians, and others say, well, Palestine is the ancestral home of the Jews, it belongs to them. And so those are different positions. And so the key is to have the needs of each group recognized, and then once you recognize their needs, you can come up with a solution, you can negotiate. Okay, so the fish people, let's begin with what are allegedly the oldest hybrid race on the Earth, the first example of a race of intelligent, technologically advanced humanoid beings on the planet that were a product of off-world visitors, extraterrestrials, mixing their genetics with the evolved life forms on planet Earth, on Gaia. And what the Sasquatch message says is, quote, star elders from a more ancient neighboring galaxy, you know, as Andromeda. So when we're talking about star elders, we are talking about beings that come from distant galaxies that look for different worlds and try to find the right match in terms of seeding that world with their genetics to conduct an experiment. Found an auspicious environment to introduce their genetic memory. So with their DNA star seeds, they created the ones generally referred to as fish people or mer people. Here we have the idea that the Earth was suitable for these star beings or these star elders from Andromeda, who presumably were an aquatic race themselves, and they identified some aquatic species on the Earth. And they thought, well, that species is suitable for us to genetically modify to create a race that can use advanced technologies. And so that's apparently what happened with the creation of the fish people or the mer people or the aquatics. Now, is this correct? Is there any evidence that there were these aquatics or fish people that populated the Earth or interacted with our humanity at some point in our early history? Because if the Sasquatch are correct, that these are the oldest race that go back hundreds of millions of years, then there would be evidence of this. So is there evidence of this? Well, we can see that there is evidence of this. So here you have what looks like a Sumerian text or artwork showing these fish people. The Sasquatch message to humanity says the fish people were the first intelligent interspecies hybrids with spiritual consciousness to be born on this home planet. They've been here longer than any other intelligent beings native from Earth. That's very interesting, you know, because when we look at some of this ancient artwork from the Sumerians and those ancient cultures, clearly you have some kind of hybrid human fish species. These would be the legends of the mermen, of the mermaids, and at one point they were very common, or at least there was a lot of interaction. I don't think they have just disappeared from the scene. I think they have kept to themselves, as I will show. So they are endowed with a spiritual consciousness. They have been here a long, long time. Oannes, the Babylonian sea god. This is a being, again, clearly a hybrid, aquatic, humanoid being that came from the ocean each day to give wisdom to humanity through the writing, the arts, and the sciences. So Babylon, ancient Babylon, we're talking about the Persian Gulf region. Apparently this being came out of the waters of the Persian Gulf or into the Euphrates, into that region, and would come out and share wisdom with the locals of that place. And this is a pattern that we will see again and again, that these ancient races, these crypto-terrestrials, those that come from the oceans or those that come from the inner Earth, often they come to the surface of the planet and they interact with the surface that is going through some kind of dark ages, that is going through a very primitive state of existence, and they help them technologically or help them in terms of wisdom and knowledge, you know, teach them about writing, teach them about the arts, about sciences and so forth. So Oannes, the Babylonian sea god, is described as doing precisely that. Interestingly, he is linked with Enki, or Prince Ea. There is this connection between the oceans and the rivers with Enki and Ea. This was described, the historian or priest, high priest of Babylon was Berossus, who talked about Oannes as giving humanity this kind of wisdom to help them advance technologically. You also have the Dagon, again, a merman god, a fish god, an aquatic god. And this was on the other side of the Middle East. Here we're talking about the Phoenicians and the Philistines. The ancestors of the Palestinians were the Philistines. And the Phoenicians are a very ancient race themselves that were a seafaring civilization that were concentrated along what is now Lebanon. And so Dagon was regarded as father of the gods by the ancient Phoenicians. It considered a type of merman or fish deity of the sea peoples. And the etymology of the word Dagon is related to the Hebrew word dag, a small fish. Again, here's historical evidence showing that there were these intelligent aquatic beings that were hybrid, that were very wise, that were regarded as gods and helped humanity evolve. Of course, you have the ancient Greeks that described Poseidon, Neptune, and also Enki is described as a sea god or connected to the sea god. So the ancient Greek art depicts Poseidon either with or without a fish tail. So you have both representations. Poseidon was one of these hybrid aquatic humanoid beings that was regarded as the father of the gods. He was regarded as very, very powerful and very, very knowledgeable and would help humanity. So Poseidon is god, king of the oceans, and meets other gods to discuss humanity's future. So what's very interesting is the trident that is associated with Poseidon and Neptune and even Enki. The trident is also called the Trishula, is Poseidon and Enki's symbol and weapon. So this is often linked to these sea gods, the trident. And the trident is a very advanced, powerful technology that connotes kingship or rulership by those wielding that. So we can see in ancient Sumerian art, here you have Enki and his son Marduk in relationship to the trident or Trishula. And so in that relief, you see Marduk holding a trident right there. You can see the trident right there and slaying one of the monsters of Tiamat in a war that was sanctioned by the Anunnaki, or by the Assembly of the Gods, where Enki created the trident. He built the trident as a powerful weapon. And in the Eredu Genesis, you have the story of Marduk being described as carrying the mandate of the heavens, the mandate from the gods, using the trident that had been created by Enki. And later Enki, or Ea, was associated with the trident. But at some point, the trident was then handed over to Marduk, which is very interesting. And because Marduk, at a certain point, at the end of the last civilization, where there was a conflict between the Enlil faction of the Anunnaki and the Enki faction of the Anunnaki. Enlil was the commander of the Anunnaki space fleet. Enki was the chief geneticist and scientist for the Anunnaki, that was really helping develop wisdom and knowledge amongst humanity, so, and cultivating the arts and sciences amongst humanity. But there was a conflict between the two factions. Enki's faction lost, and Enlil's faction took over. And Marduk had betrayed Enlil and had taken over the kingship of the earth. He became the new Enki, because Enki is a title. Whereas what we often consider to be Enki is, in fact, his name actually is Ea. Also in India, you have again the appearance of the trident, and this is possessed by Shiva, one of the three titular gods of Vedic India. He possesses the trident, Trishula, and it's a weapon that he uses to destroy and to renew the earth. And he is associated with the Ganges River. So again, you have this association between these gods with this powerful weapon, the trident, the Trishula, and their ability to wield that weapon for destructive or renewal purposes, and that they are associated with water, with oceans or great rivers that sustain a civilization, such as in this case, the Ganges River is associated as being the mother of Vedic civilization. So interestingly, there was an Indian researcher, Syed Shamir Hussain, that discovered a 10,000-year-old Trishula or trident that allegedly belonged to Shiva in 2015. So there he is, right there. That's the trident, and it's claimed to belong to Shiva. So now I'm going to talk about JP, because this, I think, is an example of the existence of these underwater civilizations today, that they continue to exist and flourish in the world's oceans. A year and a bit ago, a year and a half ago, JP did a mission to a submerged city with three biodomes. And these had transparent walls that were connected by transparent tubes that would run between these biodomes. And in these biodomes were cities. So this was like a tri-city complex in the Bermuda Triangle area. JP said he met with these human-looking Nordic aquatic beings that lived there. They were very tall and they possessed advanced technologies. He said that they were taken there in what looked like a submarine, but it was different to a submarine. It was clearly a dual-purpose submarine spacecraft. So he said that this city was populated by these Nordic-looking beings with the advanced space technology. And the mission was to bring back some technology that this aquatic civilization was sharing with surface humanity. And that included with that was a very valuable book, apparently, that was taken or given to a senior member of JP's team. And this person could have been a senior government or a CIA official, or it could have been a Freemason representative. The Freemasons, they have great influence when it comes to archaeological expeditions, or when we're talking about these crypto-terrestrial civilizations. The Freemasons have a lot of knowledge about them, and they try to monopolize that and use it for their own advantage. Now, the key point here about this underwater civilization, JP was saying that they were sharing advanced knowledge that was contained in this book that was regarded very, very highly by that Singh official that was part of that mission. So again, you get this recurring idea or corroboration of that idea. When I talked earlier about Awanes or the Dogon, you have these aquatic gods sharing advanced technologies or sharing advanced knowledge or wisdom with humanity to help humanity move forward in their evolution. And so that's happening right now. We as a civilization on the surface of the planet are pretty sophisticated in terms of many of the things we're able to do. Now, of course, in the secret space programs or the highly classified world, the level of technology is off the charts. But what's lacking is spiritual knowledge. The aquatic civilizations and the crypto-terrestrials understand that we are on the precipice because we have, on the surface of the planet, developed technologically, but our spiritual knowledge, our empathic abilities, are kind of lagging behind. So whatever this valuable book is, I suspect it's something that's going to help humanity understand, surface humanity understand, that, you know, if you really want to develop advanced technologies, it really is about developing consciousness, especially spiritual consciousness, because that's one of the things that the ancients understood, that whatever level of technology you're talking about, it's all about consciousness. It's all about being able to reach a very high level of consciousness, and then you can have access to more highly evolved technologies.
You have been listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. Join or start a conversation in the comments. Take the time to explore the vast library of best-selling books, webinars, and podcasts by Dr. Sala. Visit exopoliticstoday.com.